I sometimes show three videos to students in animal behavior classes. First is a male peacock spider displaying on a log. These Australian natives are smaller than your pinky fingernail, but they engage in a vigorous semaphore-like dance, with legs flailing rhythmically and the iridescent, multicolored abdomen flung upward. One YouTube version memorably sets the display to the Village People song YMCA, which turns out to be remarkably suitable. The second video is of white blood cells consuming a pathogen. It is less colorful than the spider, but it shows the cells moving through liquid and then finding and surrounding clumps of bacteria, eventually engulfing them without a trace left behind. The final one is a Venus flytrap closing on a fly. Accompanied by cheesy, suspenseful music, we see the insect hover near the open trap and then alight inside. After a second or two, the flaps of the plant's trap begin to close, its finger-like projections interlacing around the fly. We can see the fly struggling and hear its feeble buzz as the trap tightens, but there is no escape, and the fly is left to be digested by the plant. My question to the class is this: which of these do they consider to be behavior? As you might imagine, everyone agrees on the spider. Perhaps half are on board with the cellular action of the white blood cells, and a small but passionate minority defends the plant as having behavior on a par with that of animals. I always let the discussion go on for a while before I weigh in, partly to encourage them to think rather than wait for the right answer, and partly because the difficulty of defining behavior, paradoxically, makes it easier to see how it evolves. For the record, I am with the majority. Spiders behave for sure, but cells don't unless you take such a broad perspective that behavior itself becomes meaningless. If the cells behave, then we can even talk about atomic behavior, or the behavior of the planets and stars, which gets us pretty much nowhere. Consciousness flowering. Those students on Team Flytrap, who see behavior in a plant that seems like it has a kind of chlorophyll-fueled attitude, are not alone. Flytraps even raise the question of whether they not only behave, but whether they can count. This is not as far-fetched as it may seem. When a hapless insect lands on the trap, actually a pair of leaves, of the plant, it triggers the leaves to snap together when it contacts hairs on the inside of the trap. After the trap closes, the insect struggles to escape. But the trap doesn't close upon the first contact with the hairs. Presumably a jittery plant that clamped its leaves shut every time a stray bit of trash or even a strong gust of wind contacted the hairs would waste its energy, and it would never manage to capture a decent meal. Instead, the plant's hairs start the closing process only when they receive two signals within about 20 seconds. Furthermore, once the trap is shut, the process of digesting the captured insect only begins after three separate signals. Not one, not two, but three. If this doesn't sound like much of an accomplishment, remember that children don't develop the ability to count until they are somewhere between 15 and 18 months old. Whether or not you admit to the counting, does the response of the flytrap to the insect qualify as behavior? To answer that, we need to know what behavior is, whether in people or animals. This turns out to be a surprisingly difficult question to answer, and one of interest to scholars from several fields, from psychology and biology to philosophy. As recently as 2019, psychologists were still wringing their hands about not being able to define the activity at the core of their discipline's existence. Psychology professor Raymond Bergner from Illinois State University rather peevishly observed that psychologists who study behavior without defining it are in effect like a biologist who, in introducing a treatise on vertebrates, informs readers at the outset that he or she cannot tell us what a vertebrate is. Leaving aside that, as it happens, vertebrates are not always easily distinguished from some of their more oddball relatives, Google tunicate if you don't believe me, he has a point.